Welcome and Saba blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that will be listening over the phone, also over the radio, and later on the recording. Saba blessing everyone on this hot but beautiful Sabbath. I hope everyone in their neck of the wood will be hydrated, and may the presence of the Lord brings you coolness in this horrible heat that we have. This is lesson 282. This is our part two review of our chapter 62 entitled The Feast of Solomon's House on this Sabbath, July 20th, 2019. Once more, dear ones, welcome. Our opening hymn to our theme is entitled I'd Rather Have Jesus. And if any of the dear brethren would like to participate in singing the hymn, you may unmute your mic. I'd rather have Jesus than sorrow. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sinistrous worth. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world will afford today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
He's fairer than the lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him be than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Beautiful, dear sisters. Welcome again to all the precious family that are joining us. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open with prayer, may you unmute your mic.
If we could all kneel and come before our Godhead.
Thank you, God. Let's learn it. Amen.
Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your blessed name. Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for bringing us safely through the night. Thank you for being with us on this very hot day, dear Father. Please be our cooling shade, dear Father. our Rock of Ages, dear Father God, I pray, please be with everyone that is here. Please send your Holy Spirit to encamp around our houses, wherever we may be, dear Father God. Send your Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and our mind and our spirits, dear Father, so that we can keep the Sabbath day holy, not just this day, dear Father God, but every day according to your perfect will. Please be with the sick and the shut-in, dear Father, those that doesn't have any air conditioning or water to stay hydrated or anything on this day. Please continue to be your cool and shade, dear Father, I pray. We thank you and we love you for all things. Forgive us for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand in agreement, dear sister. And if there's any time to be able to check on your neighbors, dear ones, if you have elderly around you, or even children that may not have their parents around, may you check on them by God's grace. Our opening verse to our review team is taken from Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 from the King James Version, and we have them as a memory verse in song. Come now and let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now and let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. So what have we learned and ways I have grown this week? Before, dear ones, we receive your question, your comments, or anything that you would like to share with your remnant family, we will read our last Sabbath study entitled The Feast of Simon House in our study book, The Sign of Ages. Anyone of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, but you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. The Sign of Ages, page 557. Simon of Bethany was accounted a disciple of Jesus. He was one of the few Pharisees who had openly joined my followers.
It's just missing a T.
I am transformed. His principles were unchanged. Simon had been healed of the leprosy, and it was this that had drawn him to Jesus. He desired to show his gratitude at Christ's last visit to Bethany. He made a feast for the Savior and his disciples. Feasts brought together many of the Jews. There was at this time much excitement at Jerusalem. Christ and his mission were attracting greater attention than ever before. Those who had come to the feast closely watched his movements, and some of them with unfriendly eyes. Desire of Ages, page 557, paragraph 2.
Desire of Ages, page 557. The Savior had reached Bethany only 6 days before the Passover, and according to his custom, had sought rest at the home of Lazarus. The crowds of travelers who passed on to the city spread the tidings that he was on his way to Jerusalem and that he would rest over the Sabbath at Bethany. Among the people, there was great enthusiasm. Many flocked to Bethany, some out of sympathy with Jesus and others from curiosity to see one who had been raised from the dead. The Desire of Ages, page 557, paragraph 3.
Many expected to hear from Lazarus a wonderful account of sins witnessed after death.
They were surprised that he told them nothing. He had nothing of this kind to tell. Inspiration declares, the dead know not anything. Their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Ecclesiastes 9, verses 5 and 6. But Lazarus did have a wonderful testimony to bear in regard to the work of Christ. He had been raised from the dead for this purpose. With assurance and power, he declared that Jesus was the Son of God. These are of Ages 557, paragraph 4. On the side it says, Ecclesiastes 9, 5. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward. And Ecclesiastes 9, verse 6. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished.
Neither have they seen more a portions forever. Is anything that is...
Is there anything that is done under the sun?
It's sort of this is how we were looking at the reading. This is how it is planned by the day. And we thought carry back to Jerusalem by the visitor to Bethlehem. Increase the excitement to people who are eager to see and hear Jesus. There was a general inquiry as to whether Lazarus will accompany him to Jerusalem. If the prophet would be crowned king, at the Passover, the priest and ruler saw that his hold upon the people was still weakening, and their rage against Jesus grew more bitter. Next slide, please. Continue the reading. Desire Ages 558. They could hardly wait for the opportunity of removing him forever from their way. As the time passed, they began to fear that after all, he might not come to Jerusalem. They remembered how often he had battled their murderous designs, and they were fearful that he had now read their purpose against it, and would remain away. They could ill conceal their anxiety. And question among them said, what did ye that ye would not come to the feast? Desire Ages 558, paragraph 1. Amen.
The Desire of Ages, page 558. A council of the priests and Pharisees was called. Since the raising of Lazarus, the sympathies of the people were so fully with Christ that it would be dangerous to seize upon him openly. So the authorities determined to take him secretly and carry on the trial as quietly as possible. They hoped that when his condemnation became known, the fickle tide of public opinion would set in their favor. The Desire of Ages, page 558, paragraph 2.
Desire of Ages, page 558. Thus they proposed to destroy Jesus. But so long as Lazarus lived, the priests and rabbis knew that they were not too secure. The very existence of a man who had been 4 days in the grave and who had been restored by a word from Jesus would sooner or later cause a reaction. Next slide, please. Continuing. The people would be avenged on their leaders for taking the life of one who could perform such a miracle. The Sanhedrin therefore decided that Lazarus also must die. To such lengths do envy and prejudice lead their slaves. The hatred and unbelief of the Jewish leaders had increased until they would even take the life of one whom infinite power had rescued from the grave.
Amen. That was paragraph 3 of our study. The scripture that was kind of a little bit too small from Ecclesiastic 9 verse 5 says, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also, their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. So, dear one, let's consider this verse before we begin our questioning and answering of our study, taken from 1 Peter 3:15 from the King James Version. Sanctified, O Lord, God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that has your reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So what have I've learned in ways we have grown, dear ones? We are going to open the room for anyone to be able to ask any question. Mommies, daddies, yes. If you have any question, may you unmute your mic.
Do we know if leprosy is something that you're born with, or is this something that you can kind of get at any point in time? And then I have another question after that one is answered. Okay, it's the
fire. It is a contagious disease. It is a contagious disease, usually brought on by filthy living habits.
Thank you, Brother Dick. Then I guess my other question is, how is it that Simon the leper was a part of, like, the Pharisees? I thought that once you are, like, you have leprosy, they condemn you, and you have to basically be separated.
The Jews thought it was a direct judgment of God to get leprosy for some great wrong that you had done. In more recent times, it has become evident that it's more prevalent where they eat a lot of pork, but also other unclean meats, or perhaps just plain meat.
And if Simon were a Pharisee and he got the leprosy, they separated him from their association, and he had to go off and live by himself. And apparently he was one who came to Christ, and he might have been the very one that said, "If thou wilt, thou can make me clean." I know that there were other lepers cleansed by Christ, but I didn't know that Simon was named.
It's interesting to see, according to the 1 second, to see that even though Simon believed on Christ, that he was some sort of prophet, he had not taken him as his savior, that even in that state, the Lord still had mercy upon him and healed him according to the faith that he had at that moment. So that was interesting to see. Just wanted to share that.
Amen. And according to what I have actually read in the chapter, can anybody hear me? I'm very close to the mic, but the thing about it is something went wrong with the system.
That was much better, Chiki. It was much better.
Okay. What I have noticed is that we know that in the miracles that the Lord had actually did, in one of the miracles, there was 10 lepers and one had came back. And he's the only one that came back after the gift that the Lord had given them. I personally not sure, maybe we have a little bit of homework to do, if he was one. But I know that the difference is that this one was a Pharisee. And among those of the 10, it didn't really mention anyone that have that type of title or official. What I have realized is that the beautiful thing that happened in this particular chapter is he had a concept of what the Messiah was supposed to be. in his own mind when the Lord already had gave him evidence, because only God can bring back the dead. And the amazing mercy that was given to Simon the leper is that when he did his feast for gratitude towards his deliverance from his disease, next to him was one that was brought back from the dead. Because one side, Simon the leper, but also Lazarus was right next to him. Notice that whatever he had in his head concerning what Messiah is supposed to be, right before him, he had the evidence for him not to be able to have the doubt. Even though the Lord cleansed him from an actual terrible disease that was it's a comparison to how sin is, yet his heart was still struggling. And the heart that was struggling is that you cannot believe without faith. But that faith that he was supposed to have is that faith in the one that had gave him the opportunity to have that long chance to be able to have another chance to have life again. And yet it didn't penetrate his heart because of his own preconceived and his own idea about what Messiah was. I'm not going to be able to give away what the next chapter is all about, but you are going to see how long-suffering the Lord is and how merciful he is. He didn't only went to Simon's house just for the purpose of being there as a guest, but also to save Simon's soul and to clear a little bit of the misconception that he had about what Messiah was going to do. I just wanted to share that.
Amen. And I thank you, dear sister, for that insight. And I also find it quite revealing that the 10 lepers that Christ healed, one of them was a Samaritan, which meant that the other 9 were Jews. And we've learned here that Simon was a Pharisee, and he also had leprosy. And he was among the lepers. So whenever leprosy struck, it didn't matter what your station in life was. It didn't matter what your nationality was. You were all on the same level of uncleanness as the rest of the lepers. And we know that leprosy represents sin. It's a symbol of sin. So if you're living in sin, it doesn't matter what your station in life is. It doesn't matter what your profession of religion is. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. You're unclean, and thus you will suffer the same punishment as anyone else that lives in sin. But praise God that he can deliver us from sin if we embrace him as the Savior.
So going back to the question that I initially had, and just piggybacking off what you said, dear Elder Rob, how come it seems, I mean, it didn't say, and I don't want to assume, that Simon was kind of like condemned and separated? Or do we know that, and that's why he seek God, so he could be reinstated for that purpose? If anyone could just clarify that for me.
His condemnation didn't come, his condemnation didn't really come because of having leprosy. The condemnation will only come when he reject the one that can bring him that everlasting life. In other words, it was the outside that people was looking towards who Jesus was supposed to be, because they had a doctrine according to the Sanhedrin, or who was the teaching at that time, that when Messiah was going to come, they was going to place him to be king. But when they saw Messiah came and was not living up to what they already have in their mind of what Messiah was going to do, they rejected him. By he rejecting Jesus, which is the only one that he can truly come to have salvation and the regenerating of his character, meaning only through faith in Christ, according to what the scripture said, that if we believe in Jesus, not only of belief, but also if we, by beholding him, become changed in character, this is when salvation come in. And when he rejected his Savior, he remained with his own unconverted character, that a natural nature, that in order for it to be able to change, we need a supernatural, which is actually the righteousness of Christ, in order for him to be saved. And by he rejecting that, this is where condemnation will come, at the separation from his Savior. Not in the sense as the leprosy, because remember, he had the leprosy, but he had faith enough to know that Christ could bring him whole, or bring him from that condemnation. But he didn't go to sanctification, not justification, sanctification, holiness. So he went towards justification, but he did not accept him as the one that can remove sin from him, to go towards sanctification, to be sanctified. Faith coming by hearing the word of God, but you have to do the work as well. And he remained and did not take the justification, which is Christ being the Lamb that can remove his sin. And now taking the word of God and applying it in his life for his character to change. So because he rejected the process of how to become saved, this is where condemnation will come in. I just wanted to share that.
And you know, it might be that God allowed Simon to contract leprosy in order to lead him directly to the Savior. Without that horrendous disease, Simon may have never been led to Christ.
Should we pray for similar things to happen to those we love, hoping they'll be led to Christ? That's a terrible thought.
Well, I had a situation to where there at one point in my life, the Lord actually was telling me not to do something. Regardless of what I was going through, I was justifying my actions because of what I had gone through. So, but the Lord still was sparing me and having mercy on me because he understood the state I was in. But at the same time, he was also letting me know what not to do, because the individual I was with at that time was not sent from God. He was just more of a, I would say, more of a cloak for me going through my divorce at that time. So the Lord had warned me of a situation prior to me getting an infection, but I wasn't listening. It was more hearsay for me. I took it as just rumors. But come to find out, those rumors were true. And had I listened when the Lord told me to remove myself, I would not have gotten the infection that I ended up contracting. And I spoke with some brothers and sisters, and they came and they spoke with me and they helped me understand certain things. And had it actually not been for that situation, despite what the enemy had in store for me, had it not been for that situation, I probably would not have gone into more depth in my studies with the Lord, because in my own affliction, I was also able to help my mom when she was going through breast cancer. So even though the enemy had it out for me to live life with an infection, the Lord, I can't blame anybody else, not even the other individual, but because the Lord actually let me know, and I chose not to listen, but because the Lord loved me and had mercy on me and he understood, I guess that was the way for him to be able to allow me to come closer to him. And it also changed, it helped with my eating habits also. Like, I have to go back to being vegetarian so this infection doesn't flare up more, so I have to start doing being more diligent in removing myself from eating meats as well. So I don't know, going hand in hand with what everyone else was saying, I just think that there's certain things, even if we don't listen, the Lord still spares our life in certain situations to bring him, to bring us closer to him.
Amen.
Some through the water, some through the flood, some through great sorrow, but all through the blood.
And with that said, Brother Dick, I'm not going to be even sharing, because that is exactly what we're supposed to keep in mind. The greatest tragedy in the world was to see a God to come down and die. But that tragedy brought salvation to so many. It was such a dreadful death. But notice that the Father had to bruise his Son. But if you look at the bruise, but you saw the healing that was coming out of it. And the healing is greater. Why is greater? Because he voluntarily gave his life. And his Father sacrificed by placing his Son. So when we are asked, should we pray and ask the Lord to make things happen? Not so much you're praying for them to make something happen, but Father, convict them. In conviction comes these things that the world will say it is a misfortune. But these stumbling blocks are stepping stone towards getting to know who the Savior is. I talk personally because the death of my fiance was also my salvation. It was very painful. But I also see if I would have stayed, I would have become a devoted Catholic. And that was not what the Lord had in store for me. That pain was very difficult. But when love is long-suffering, that's why I love to hear and sing that song. Lord, merciful and gracious, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. The Lord, merciful and gracious, and abounding in goodness, abounding in goodness and truth. The death was a tragedy, but it made me be able to see that even in suffering, you see a deeper love that you would have never seen if you wouldn't go through these afflictions and these conflicts. You get to have a closer walk. You get to understand what really love is. Sometimes love, the only way you can be able to express it is through God, because he's the one that has love. We don't have that love totally. We only have it partially. So with that tragedy, I got to see the love that God had for us. So it does do the work. So no, we are not asked for the purpose of bad things happening to the ones we love or the ones we want to bring to the Lord. But we can pray and ask the Lord to convict them. And in the conviction, there is love divine. And I just wanted to share and touch that. Is there any scripture song or any song that you would like to share, dear ones? You can unmute your mic. Well, meanwhile, dear ones, in the section of the poem, I also found another poem that I would like to share with everyone. It's called Onward. And it's from June 25th, 1857, from the editor Uriah Slade, taken from the book Advent Review and Sabbath Herald, Volume 10, pages 62, from paragraph 2 to paragraph 5. If anyone of the family that would like to share the poem, you may unmute your mic.
Onward. Come, brothers, let us onward. Night comes without delay, and in this howling desert, it is not good to stay. Take courage and be strong. We are hastening on to heaven. Strength for warfare will be given, and glory won ere long.
The pilgrim's path of trial we do not fear to view. We know his voice who calls us, we know him to be true. Then let who will contemn, but strong in his almighty grace, come everyone with that steadfast face unto Jerusalem.
O brothers, soon is ended. The journey we have begun. Endure a little longer. The race will soon be won. And in the land of rest, in yonder bright eternal home, where all the Father's loved ones come, we shall be safe and blessed.
Then boldly let us venture. This is worth the cost. Though dangers we encounter, though everything is lost, O world, how vain thy call. We follow him who went before. We follow to the eternal shore. Jesus, our all in all.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If there's any testimony, anything you would like to share, dear ones, you can unmute your mic. Well, dear ones, we will give our dear brother Dick also a chance to be able to ask questions of this section of the story time.
All right. Good morning again, boys and girls. This is the 20th of July. My, this year has gone in a hurry. And our story, praise to God, brings courage. And when he, Jehoshaphat, that was the king, had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. How would you feel to be a singer, a choir singer, and be asked to go to battle before the soldiers? That would be something different. And he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. They praised God for the victory, and 4 days thereafter the army returned to Jerusalem, laden with the spoil. When armies went out to war, they often carried gold and silver and other precious and useful things with them. And the winner of the fight picked up and took home anything he considered of value. Laden with the spoils of their enemies, singing praise and victory for the victory won. Do you not think that if more of this were done now, our hope and courage and faith would be revived? He's talking about singing the praises of God. Should not the hands of the soldiers who are standing in defense of the truth be strengthened? If there were much more praising the Lord and far less doleful recitation of discouragements, many more victories would be gained. Doleful recitations of discouragement. That's complaining about their difficulties and blaming their leaders for all their troubles. God is the eternal, uncreated fountain of all good. That means he lives forever and provides everything that is good. All who trust in him will find him to be this, or the foundation or source of all good things. To those who serve him, looking to him as their heavenly Father, he gives the assurance that he will fulfill his promises. He says, see, I protected and provided for your fathers, and I'll do the same for you. His joy will be in their hearts. They'll be happy. And their joy will be full. That means they couldn't be happier. It is our privilege to open our hearts and let the sunshine of Christ's presence in. My brother and my sister, face the light. That means look to God for help. Come into actual personal contact with Christ. Actual personal contact, that means you talk to him like you talk to your closest friend. That you may exert or show an influence that is uplifting and reviving, encourages others. Let your faith be strong and pure and steadfast. That means unchangeable. Let gratitude or thanksgiving to God fill your hearts. When you rise in the morning, kneel at your bedside and ask God to give you strength to fulfill the duties of the day. You know that, do you know what duty is? Well, for little people, duty is straightening up your bedroom in the morning and putting away your toys and your clothes. Mother, appreciate that. And ask God to give you strength to meet its temptations. What is a temptation? The Bible says God tempts nobody. So temptations must come from the devil. Ask him, God, to help you to bring into your work Christ's sweetness of character. Ask him to help you to speak words that will inspire or encourage those around you with hope and courage, and draw you nearer to the Savior, sons and daughters of God, 199. And when Jehoshaphat had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to praise and say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. 2 Chronicles 20:21. All right, children, let me put this away. Yes, save it. Now, do you have any questions about that story or anything else? Maybe we can answer them for you, huh? Any questions? Okay. Typical of children, when you're being asked if you have questions, they have nothing to say. But my dad used to always say, you ask too many questions, son. Well, maybe we're different, huh? Thank you for listening.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear. Okay. So next week, we will continue with part two of our lesson entitled The Feast at Simon's House. In our study book, Desire of Ages. Any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, so even our guests would like to close with prayer. May you unmute your mic. We can all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts as we come boldly before the throne of grace. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come boldly before the throne of grace, we are asking, dear Lord, to be the light in our path, that we may be able to have the courage to look up and knowing that you are fully in control of all things, even though things may become difficult, but that difficult is even a call of love that we are called to draw close, not to draw close to ourselves, but to draw close to why the reason the Lord has allowed. Father, we also pray that you will be able to help us in the continuing studies that we are going to have. Please let us take our time and sit down with our children. Sometimes the children may not have a question, or sometimes circumstances read of different team inside of the Bible or your story may touch upon something that is happening in the world. Father, please, I pray, let us take time now that we are in peace to be able to sit down with our children and let them know the war and the circumstances of life. Find our children and prepare to be able to meet it. For the only sword that the Lord has given us is the sword of the Spirit and also the living word of God. That is a two-edged sword to be able to meet all of the difficulties in our life. Forgive us, Father, if we as parents did not sit down and take the time and listen to the thoughts and the heart of our children. You have given us rest on the Sabbath, but the Fridays we can sit down with our children, discuss the
the information that has been given to bring insight to things that they may be going through, Father Jesus. We ask forgiveness if we have not. And we hope that from here forth, we will take the time that you have given, granted us, to be able to do so. We love you, O Lord, for all that you have done. Even the most difficult things that we go through, we thank you. For without it, we could not see the light that is before us. We thank you and we love you. Forgive us for our sins and iniquity and our shortcomings. Forgive us for our Christless spirit, Father. Plead the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May we all today have our hearts may be drawn for the water of life to moisten and to be able to help us have the soil of our heart open to receive the seed of truth and to have the strength and the courage to the power of the Holy Spirit to put it into practical use. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
So next Sabbath, dear ones, that will be July 27, 2019, we will continue with our part two of chapter 62, the feast at San Francisco, and that is lesson 283. We hope and pray everyone was blessed and may continue tapping into this particular chapter because it is of many blessings. Have a blessed Sabbath, everyone.